Whom shall we fear? The one who reigns forever is our friend. Our strength is in his name. Amen. Good morning, St. John. Buenos dias. So I've been given the honor and the privilege to stand before you during Pastor Yoshmar's absence this week. So the first thing I'm going to do is ask that you pray for him in his travels during this time. So I don't know about you, but the last worship song we sang, it's beautiful. Whom shall we fear? But it's hard keeping true to those words. Whom shall we fear? No one. We shouldn't fear anyone, but it's so difficult for me, I'm sure plenty of you, sometimes to share the good news with those who aren't saved. So if you haven't met me yet, I'm Jeff. I'm the youth pastor here at St. John. And part of my job is to have activities to kind of engage the youth. So what we're going to do today, we're going to start with a little interactive activity. Each of you should have received an envelope when you came in this morning. And if you did not, raise your hand and someone will bring you an envelope. Doing much better. Much better. We just need one, two. It's okay. Don't worry. Half the congregation didn't have it first service. So once you get your envelope, I want you to open it up. Then once you open it up, I have a little gift for you inside. There's a itsy bitsy index card. So go ahead and pull that index card out. And on that index card, you will find one of three numbers. 1, 30, or 365. So what these numbers represent is the unknown amount of time we have until our Lord and Savior returns. Do we have one day? Do you have one month? Do you have one year? What are you going to do with that limited amount of time that you have? If that's all the time you have, what are you going to do? Are you ready? Are you ready if that's the time? I want you to pause for a minute and think about what you would do if that's all the time you had. And as you're thinking about this, some of you may be wondering, what is the second coming he's talking about? Some of you may know, some of you may not know. But it's an event when Jesus will return to the earth in glory and power to judge the world. And see, unlike his first time when he came as a humble servant, he's returning as a victorious king to judge the world. God has a promise of redemption and saving from sin and suffering. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you give me the words to speak this morning. Lord, I pray that you give us all ears to hear, hearts open. Lord, each of us in this room need to receive a specific message from you, Lord. Fill this room with the Holy Spirit. Let us all hear whatever it is you're saying to us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your guidance. I thank you for your son, Jesus, who died so that we may be forgiven, Lord. It's in his holy and powerful name I pray. Amen. So, Jesus' disciples, they asked Jesus, you know, how do we know when this time is coming? How do we know when the end of time is here? And this was Jesus' response. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold." but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And then the end will come. So that's a lot of scripture to digest, right? So we're gonna break this down into three different main points. Okay, the first one we're gonna talk about is deception. So Jesus was preparing his disciples for the deception that would come in his absence. He knew that false messiahs, deceptive teachers would not only be around then, but they'll be around today, and they'll continue to be around. We can see them all over the place today. You can see them on social media. You can see them on TV. You can see them in the news. You can see them in your neighborhoods if you open your eyes. And see, Jesus tells them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. There are many teachers out there who claim to be in Christ's name, and they're not. How do you combat this, though? It's easy to know that they're there. How do you combat it? Well, there's three things you can do. The first is remain in your Bible. Remain in your Bible. Open up His Word. That is God's Word. Open it up and be in it daily. Come to church, be inside your Bible. But be in your Bible at home. Take your Bible to work. Put a Bible in your car. Stay in the Word of God. Surround yourself by people. And it's only through that that you can do the second thing, and that's test all teachings. All teachings. So it doesn't matter if I'm standing up here today teaching. It doesn't matter if Pastor Yoshmar is up here next week and Stephen is up here. It doesn't matter if your favorite pastor online is up here or if your family member is up here or anywhere teaching you. Test teachings. You have access to the Word. Pick it up. Test it. Because if you don't, I could be up here rambling on about a bunch of mumbo jumbo and you're not even testing it. You're just taking my word for it. You have to test the teachings of everyone. Be continuous in prayer. This is so important. Ask Him for discernment. Ask Him for discernment so that you can identify these deceptions when they're happening. So you can protect your family, so you can protect your spouse, your children from these false teachings. So we've talked about deception and the importance of staying grounded in the truth of God's word. But what happens when the challenges of life hit us hard? Jesus doesn't just warn us about false teachings. He also prepares us for the hardships that come before his return. These, as you may know, be called the tribulations. And Jesus wasn't just talking about events happening then. He's preparing his disciples and us for real and present challenges we will and are facing. See, I've been to war. I'm just not hearing of wars. We have brothers and sisters put to death every day because of their faith. I see brother and sisters betraying each other because they accept society's standard instead of the standard given to us by Christ. Christians are hated all over the world because we don't love, when in actuality, the Savior who I strive to be like paid the ultimate price because he loved everyone. And these are just the birth pains. So how do we get through the tribulations, though? How do we have the strength to make it through? Because there are going to be some tough times. First, being strong in your faith. You have to strengthen your faith. Be in fellowship regularly. Worship. Come to church. Get plugged into areas. Be part of Bible studies. Be part of home groups. That helps you strengthen your faith. But what are you doing when you're alone? What are you doing with that deepest thing you have, that sin or that darkness that you're struggling with, that you're not sharing it with your family, you're not sharing it with your spouse, you're not sharing it with your friends, but God knows it. See, the tribulations, it's not just a little obstacle. These are going to be hard times. And if you want to have the strongest relationship with God, the strongest faith, you have to share everything. So what are you doing with it? Are you going to God with everything? Stand together. Stand together, bless you, and encourage each other, support each other. The past few weeks, we've been going through the sermon series in the student ministry about friendship. And the main verse that we kept coming back to during this series was Ecclesiastes 4:12, and it talks about how a threefold cord is not easily broken. So my question is God the third in every relationship you have, in your marriage, in your friendships, in your relationship with your children? Is he the third? You know, we can think about heroes of the faith, and let's talk about Moses for a second. This is another story that the youth know, and some of you may know it because we just talked about it in one of the sermons during that series. And see, Moses, here's Moses. He's leading the Israelites out of Egypt, right? And then all of a sudden, these people, the Amalekites, decide, you know, well, we're going to attack the Israelites, right? So they just come down, and they just start beating on the Israelites, right? And Moses, good old Moses, he raises his hand, right? Staff in one hand, his other hand's up, and this crazy thing happens. The Israelites just start beating the Amalekites. But see, if you've been to battle, or if you have and you don't know, battles are long. Battles are very long. So he starts to get weary, and his hands go down. But, you know, he loves the people, so his hands go back up. You know, so you just have this Amalekites. But see, then he had this family member, his brother, Aaron, and his friend, Hur. They noticed. They noticed he was getting weary. So what did they do? They grabbed a stone. They moved it over. Have a seat. And one on each side, they lifted up his hands and they held his hands there. And they held his hands there until the Israelites beat the Amalekites and beat the Amalekites and beat the Amalekites until they were no more. They were no more Amalekites. Because they knew they had to stand together, encourage each other, support each other, so that the Israelites could get to the promised land. We have to trust that God has a plan bigger than we can understand. I'm going to talk to you about my favorite book in the Bible for a minute. This is my small group over here, so they know exactly where I'm going. And so we're going to talk about Job. And so a lot of people, they don't trust in God, or they may struggle to trust in God because what they've dealt with in life, the pain and suffering they've experienced. But if you haven't read the book of Job, I'm going to share a brief overview with you. So God gave Satan permission to test a man of God, which was Job. And he was allowed to do anything he wanted to him except for take his life. Okay? And so his wife turned on him. His friends turned on him. He was told to curse God and die. His riches were taken from him. His health. And his children were killed. Check, 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 check. A lot of the big five ones we have here, right, that we all suffered through. But what did Job do? Job continued to trust in God. Job continued to love God. You know what happened when he did that? I'm going to share with you what did. So in chapter 42, verse 10, it says, "And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." He got twice as much. That's a lot. What do we get? What do we get if we stay faithful and trust in God through the tribulations? We get heaven. I mean, Job got twice as much, but we get heaven. Is there a greater thing to get than heaven? So enduring through trials is crucial, but our mission doesn't end there. Jesus didn't just tell us to hold on. He called us to take action, to spread the good news. Strength in our faith is fuel for our mission. What is our mission? To preach the gospel to all nations. All nations. My favorite part of chapter 24 is, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." And then the end will come. So we already know the birth pains are here. But have you ever heard a mother say, I'll just take these contractions. Just keep them coming. It's no big deal. Just keep them coming. No, you haven't. They're ready for the baby to arrive, right? They're ready for that water to break. So what am I ready for? Let the water break and let Christ arrive. Let the birth pains, let the contractions be done and just let the water break. Okay, let Christ arrive. I don't know about you, but I don't want to wait until he has a return to make sure the ones whom I love are saved. Because if you didn't know, when that day comes and he arrives, it's too late. It's too late. You missed the chance. You missed your chance to share it with them because he is back. I'm going to share with you another scripture that's been heavy on my heart this week. So it's in Romans, okay? It's Romans 10, 9 through 13. And this Bible is very important to me. It's KJV, so I need you to bear with me on this. I'll tell you why it's so important in just a moment. And it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto the call upon him. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to keep this scripture on your heart today and for the rest of the series. But the reason why this is so important to me is this Bible right here. My grandpa on my mother's side gave this to me before one of my deployments. And it went on my deployment with me, and I carried it around everywhere. And I never did this. Never did that. Never really opened it up. But he wrote this, he highlighted this verse in me, or in the Bible for me. And it brings me so much joy because he's passed, knowing that he was trying to save my soul all those years ago. Before I was receptive, before I wanted to know who this man Jesus really was, he wanted me to have it with me. He wanted me to be in my Bible. He wanted me to be saved. I posted a question on Facebook. A few of y'all answered. There were some fun answers. The question was, if Jesus came back today and he came up to you, he said, no strings attached. You can bring one person or one thing with you. What would it be? I saw answers like pets. Hey, I love my pets too. I saw answers like Pepsi. Shout out to Stephen. But see, Stephen also had the best answer I saw on there. He said his grandmother. Because he wasn't sure if she knew God. And so, see, that really is the answer that I was looking for. Because that's my answer. If God told me I could choose one person to take with me, or one thing, I would choose my dad. Because I love my dad dearly. And I don't know if he knows God, and I want to dance with him in the streets of heaven. I want to dance with him and David all over the streets of gold. So I would choose him. But what tools do we need in order to do this, in order to preach the gospel to all nations? First, we need to stay grounded in truth. You have to stay grounded in biblical truth. Because if not, how are you going to protect your family? And how are you going to share the good news with other people? Because guess what? If you don't know the biblical truth, they can know a bunch of nonsense and just use that against you. So you have to stay grounded in biblical truth. You have to prepare yourself spiritually and mentally. Because here's the fact of the matter. Not everyone you go to, not everyone you share the good news with is going to receive it. Not every family member is going to want to receive it. You're going to have friends that separate from you. You're going to have family members that grow distant. And it's going to break your heart. It is going to tear you up inside. So prepare yourself by leaning on God now. Lean on God, because he can get you through all that. Go out on mission. Local, abroad. Share the good news with them. Preach the gospel to them. You're all equipped to. Again, y'all have a Bible, or we can get you a Bible. So we've covered the call to vigilance, endurance, and the mission to proclaim the gospel to all nations. But see, these aren't just suggestions. These are marching orders as we wait for the return of Christ. Not suggestions. So the end of time is coming. And I'm looking forward to it. See, I was talking to my other grandpa on my dad's side. I was talking to him this week, and I had the best conversation I've ever had about heaven. It was an amazing conversation. And so we were talking about the streets of gold and the pearly gates and how those are going to be a little significant, and we're just standing in the awe of the presence of our Lord. It's a beautiful picture, right? For the richness that we have in our minds for as humans, it sounds rich and it's going to be beautiful. But when you think about standing in the awe, being in awe in the presence of our Lord, nothing's going to compare to that. No gold, no pearls, that's not going to compare to his presence. Bob Russell, a former pastor at Southeast Christian Church, said this, we wrote this 10 years ago. The Bible calls the Lord's return our blessed hope, and in light of the chaos in the world right now, I'm convinced it's our only hope. It's our only hope. So he wrote this back in 2014, as I mentioned, and it's 2024 now. 10 years later, I think it's 10 times as relevant now as it was back then. It is our only hope. Jesus provided us the signs we discussed, guidelines to prepare us spiritually. So what I challenge you to do is to stay vigilant, stay strong, and stay on mission. That's the only way our Lord and Savior is coming back, and the only way we're going with him when he does. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for your son you sent down to die for our sins, Lord. I thank you for the future return of him, Lord. Lord, I know what we need to do is not going to be easy, Lord. It's not going to be easy to stand strong, Lord. It's not going to be easy mentally or spiritually, Lord. Lord, but I know it's in you, in your word, that we can find the strength to overcome, or the strength to make it through the tribulations, the strength to defeat all deception, or in the confidence to just go out and preach the gospels to all nations, Lord. Lord, I love you, and I thank you. It's in your son's most holy name I pray. Amen.